This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsNap Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. Hour number two, as we get rocking and rolling on a Monday, we got the good, the bad, and the dumb coming up. You don't want to miss that. And then we'll get into our discussion about the AFC. Training camps start late next month. The investigation into Sean Watson, or the testimony and all of that stuff, what the NFL is looking into, will start today. It's possible he'll get a year. There's rumors out there, or at least reports are, that he'll get at least a year. That's a storyline, no doubt, because Cleveland is counting on him to help them be a factor in a very loaded AFC. But outside of Deshaun Watson, which again is probably the biggest story this offseason in terms of where exactly is this heading, what exactly will the NFL do and how will it affect the Cleveland Browns, who paid him a guaranteed contract, what exactly is the storyline in the AFC outside of that? Now, there's a couple of candidates, and we're going to explore a couple of them. One, Kansas City. Right, lost en route to the Super Bowl to the Cincinnati Bengals. Can they get back and keep establishing sort of this mini dynasty that they were trying to build with a Super Bowl win, a Super Bowl loss, and then a loss in the AFC title game? What about Buffalo? How do they bounce back after divisional loss to Kansas City? Can Cincinnati be a team that wasn't just a surprise in the postseason? Oh my God, look at what they're doing. Now with an AFC championship under their belt, how much of a target is on them and can they respond to that? What about a team like Denver with Russell Wilson coming in to play quarterback? And what is about a team like the Chargers with Justin Herbert emerging as a mega star? There's obviously other conversations that we need to have about this division, the Tennessee conference, the Tennessee Titans. Are they even a factor in people considering them to win that conference? And what about the New England Patriots and the second year of Mac Jones as New England gets ready? There's a number of different candidates for the storyline of the 2022 season. A lot of it, of course, is, again, going into this year, a lot of it was centered on how loaded it was, the quarterback level, but also, again, Deshaun Watson added into that mix. And here were the Browns going in that direction with a Pro Bowl-level player that has all of this off-field problems that could be even more problematic for Cleveland. Outside of the Browns, we'll take a look at the other storylines in the AFC. But coming up next, it's the good, the bad, and the dumb as we get your week rolling on a Monday. SportsMap Radio. Glad you can be with us here on Wake Up Call.
Wake Up Call continues now on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, good, the bad, and the dumb. You've been waiting all weekend for it, and here it is. Let's get things started with the good of the day.
You may have been waiting for all weekend long for the good, the bad, the dumb, right?
Right.
But it's not nearly as long as former number one overall pick Mark Apple.
Yes, I saw that. What a great story.
Finally
this is.
Reaching the major leagues. Nearly 10 years after he was selected number one overall.
Wasn't he selected by the Astros?
Yes, he was. I believe it was 2013. I think he was selected by the Astros. And
he was supposed to be dynamite.
Yeah. Electric stuff. Got out of Stanford.
Right.
And then was traded to Pittsburgh. Retired in 2018, saying he just couldn't do this anymore. You know, I mean, we've talked about it ad nauseum, how hard it is to be a minor leaguer.
Oh, it is.
And he
tough.
Just was never getting the call up. And then retired in 2018, but said, you know what, I'm just going to give it one more go. Signed with the Phillies in 2021, I believe. And he got called up or got promoted because relief pitcher Connor Brogdon was placed on the COVID IR list.
You know, we talk about this a lot with athletes that are in the leagues, in the NFL, NBA, or whatnot, when it's time to retire. You know how we always say, it's, you know, hey, look, give them a little bit of a break, you know, for them to decide to end something that's dominated their whole life, you know. But we never talk about the minor leaguers, about, like, when do they call it a day?
Right.
Like, it's one thing when you're, like, 40 and you're trying to play quarterback in the NFL, and you're like, I can't do this anymore. Okay. But when you're like 30 and you're like, I can't, I'm not going to get called up.
Do I still do this? I mean,
I'm making no money. I'm going on buses. I'm playing the game I love, but eventually I got to get my life going. Like, I got to do something. I can't keep doing this for $1,000 a month or whatever some of these guys get paid. Like, some minor leaguers get nothing. No,
you're absolutely right. I mean, you know, obviously for him, he got a good signing bonus being the number one overall pick.
No doubt.
But, you know, you from 2013 to what, 2018, not even coming, not even, I mean, I think he played, he was up in the AAA a couple of times, but that was it.
Yeah.
That's got to be so frustrating
and
because
then you're just like,
you're on
do
this
I keep
path.
Going? When do I get my real estate license? You know, when do I go into sales? Like, when do I start whatever business I was going to start? Like, when do I get into that? And that's got to be a harder decision, you
right.
know, because the retiring athlete, yeah, you know, they got a lot under their belt and they can retire. But a guy giving up completely on his dream and never getting to the finish line, that's got to be hard. I hear about it in golf a lot. Golf is a big one because there are guys, when you grow up in junior golf and everybody's like, oh my God, you're going to play on the tour. And you're like, oh, that's all they tell you. Like when you're a young kid, you're shooting 6 under par at this junior tournament. And everybody talks about going to the tour. And then you get there and you get the yips or, you know, your swing isn't that good. You're working on something and you're playing in these tournaments where you're traveling around by train if you have to, by beat up car. You can't afford your caddy. And then you eventually go, do I do this or do I become a club pro somewhere? Like, what do I do? I got to figure this out. Good for him. Good for Mark Apple to hang with it, stick through
now
it,
he
and
was,
get to the show.
He was called up on Saturday. He still is yet to play.
Yeah.
I just hope, you know, the Phillies are in a position where it's like, I just throw him out there.
There is a very good book that is out there about basketball. And it's written by a guy named Paul Shirley. And Paul Shirley's kind of controversial. He said some iffy things. So I don't want to promote his book per se. But I don't want to tell you it's a must read. If you look him up and you can handle his controversy, then I would recommend his book. If you can't, I understand. But the book is called Can I Keep My Jersey? And it was about his journey playing minor league basketball around the world for an occasional 10-day contract that he would get every now and then with an NBA team. And it is harrowing. It you read it and it's funny because he wrote it in a comedic way, but at the same time you read it going, this is what it takes when you're not a superstar. Like, this is what it takes when you're on that border where you could be in the league, but you may not be in the league. And you could see yourself in the league, but you can also see yourself not in the league. And that's where he was. And it would just be like, I'm in a motel I can't name with bed bugs and a roommate and the water doesn't work. And then 1 minute the phone rings and it's my agent saying, pack your bags, the Atlanta Hawks need you for 10 days. And he's getting to the airport and it's first class and nobody, he's not even allowed to grab his bag because the Hawks are going to take care of it. And he gets on a plane and there's a buffet waiting for him with food and big chairs on a chartered jet, 5-star hotels when they, like, it just goes from that to that. And that was his life. And this Mark Apple story reminds me of that. Just all the stuff he must have seen before he got this call up.
Well, just everyone just going past him.
Right. Oh, yeah.
You know,
that's
I mean,
the other thing.
You know, him just, I mean, him pitching his heart out and just knowing like, man, this maybe this is it. Maybe
you're happy,
I was just
but you're
the
not
number
happy
one
for
yeah.
your friend, you know?
It's yeah.
Like, oh. Well, how are you going to the show, huh? Good luck. Oh, boy.
Yeah, congrats. You won't be back.
Yeah, congrats.
Tell me how it looks.
Yeah. Tell me how it looks. What's the food like? All right, what's the bat of the day?
I didn't really want to go here, but I feel like I need to. Because I don't know if it's going to be I don't think it's going to be a bigger deal than it is. I think it was said and done, and hopefully that's it, but we're moving on. But there was another great baseball series going on this past weekend.
Was
Dodgers-Braves.
Yeah, that was a good one. Yeah.
You know, and I think it was the first time LA was back in Atlanta. So, of course, you know, if you don't know, Freddie Freeman, longtime Brave, is now with the Dodgers. Warm reception. He was hugging all his former teammates if they reached first base. I mean, you know, teary-eyed. The Braves had a little tribute video for him. Brave fans were thanking him. And you know, the stuff that you would expect when a hero returns home.
Right.
Where the bad comes in is, I'm hoping it's like one and done. I really don't want there to be turmoil within the locker room. But Kershaw had some comments about Freddie Freeman. And basically, summing it up, just said he's obviously been a big contributor to our team, and I hope we're not second fiddle.
What, meaning like this that weekend?
No, I basically talking about the entire season that, you know, hopefully Freddie Freeman, I don't know, like doesn't always pining for the Braves. Like if they're to meet in the playoffs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, where's his heart really going to be? I mean, we know he's a professional baseball player, but
that's a big accusation, though, to make it a at an athlete to say like you wouldn't be playing your hardest so that a bunch of other people, like your buddies, will win instead of you.
Yeah, I mean, the full comment, you know, it was pretty cool to see Freeman's reception on Friday, and I hope we're not second fiddle. It's a pretty special team over here too. I think whenever he gets comfortable over here, he'll really enjoy it. It was a good night for him.
Yeah, I see where you're going with this. There's two ways to look at that comment. One, I think that I can look privately. I think all the Dodgers were kind of dreading the trip.
Yeah,
I bet all of the Dodgers to privately, maybe to their wives and that's it, or maybe to someone close in their life. They were like, yeah, man, we're going to get there, and it's all going to be about Freddie, and Freddie's going to cry, and Freddie's bad. Because they don't have the long-term relationship with Freddie Freeman, right? They don't have the long-term friendship and teammate situation. And, that, you know, it reminds me of that AT&T ad that Matt Stafford's doing.
Right.
Right? Where, you know, like, and I explained that to my wife. I asked her, I said, I want you to watch this ad, and I rewound it. I said, watch this ad. I said, first of all, do you know who that is? She goes, no.
Of course.
I go, well, it's Matt Stafford. He just won the Super Bowl. I said, listen to this ad and just let me just tell you the context of it. So after I played it, I told her the context. I said, he's talking about the Lions. He says, when he's talking about his old phone, he's talking about the Lions. And he's doing an ad
that he's had for 12 years.
Exactly. Had for 12 years. And you know, whatever.
Really loved it. It was really everything to him.
And you know, whatever he says at the end, miss it never, or I wouldn't replace it never, or whatever. Like he won a title. It was life changing, but he's talking about his love that he has for his old team. That's kind of reminds me of this, except Stafford never won a championship with the Lions, and Freddie Freeman did. He won a title in Atlanta.
Yeah, and then it was pretty much let go.
They told him, "We're not paying you."
Yeah, we're moving on.
We're moving on, and you should.
And then you hear the other reports too that, you know, Freeman's manager messed up, or Freeman's agent messed up, and it's like, oh man, don't go all around like this.
So I can get some of the Dodgers going, ugh, this is going to be just one big love fest that we don't need. You know what I mean? I totally get it. I get it. But at the same time, I agree with you. You don't want this to be something where Freddie Freeman goes, oh, my teammates don't really care about me.
Yeah,
like they think I would. I'm not committed.
They
to
think
this,
I'm still in love with the Braves.
Yeah, I love them so much, but I don't love where I'm at. Like, I'm not fighting for them. I just it hurts to go home. Listen.
And at the same token, though, I mean, you know, I don't hear any of this about Kenley Jensen.
No, that's very true. Good point. Right? I mean, listen, I when you spend a long time in one area and you move, you miss it. You get a little homesick and things like that. It's not always new and exciting. I mean, listen, I've moved around a lot in my radio career, but there were places I loved living, and then I would get a new job and a new opportunity, and I'd be all excited about it. But I'd be waking up in that new city going, it's not where I used to be.
Doesn't have the same feel.
Right? So give Freddie Freeman a little bit of time. Like, let him. All right, what's the dumb of the day?
Dumb of the day. I don't know if this is actually dumb. It kind of surprises me, blows my mind a little bit more than anything, so I'll let you be the judge.
All right.
But at 21 years of age, Ole Miss pitcher Dylan DeLucia, who pitched fantastic over the weekend, by the way.
Was really great.
They had an off day, so they took in the Omaha Zoo, Ole Miss baseball team. And at 21 years old, that was the first time he had ever seen a giraffe.
Oh!
And...
Well, where did he grow up? Did he grow up where there was a zoo?
I mean, isn't that a staple at every zoo?
Yeah. You got to think that if you have a zoo, there's probably a giraffe. There's got to be, right? Maybe there are some zoos without one. I don't know.
But that's where I was coming at. I was like, how have you never seen a giraffe.
Was he blown away by it? Because they are pretty majestic.
He took a photo next to it, like proof that he finally has seen one. He grew up in Florida.
Oh, okay. Well,
that's, in New Smyrna Beach. I don't know where that is.
All right. Well, maybe he didn't go to his local zoo there.
It's not really dumb. It's one of those things that catches me by surprise that as a kid, you lived in Florida. You mean never went to Animal Kingdom?
You never went to Animal Kingdom or Busch Gardens or anything like that?
Animal Kingdom, they just walk around at will, yep, right? They're everywhere.
They have a safari. No, well, in their own little cage, yeah. But they might get to the parking lot. Yeah, they have a hotel where you can go on your balcony and see like a bunch of them roaming a big field. But then they have it as part of, there's a ride there that you can ride where you ride through it and see the animals. But Busch Gardens has them too. But nevertheless, did he think, like, it would have been dumb if he didn't think they didn't exist until he saw one? Where he would, like, it would have been nice if they said, you got to see a giraffe. And he goes, oh yeah, these giraffes that you guys make up. The ones with the long necks, sure. And then he finally takes a picture just to prove that they exist. Now, that would have been funny. But the idea that he's never saw a giraffe, that's kind of wild. You know what, though? I take it for granted that people went to zoos as kids, and maybe some people just didn't.
I would have to assume he never went to a zoo.
Yeah. It's the only way you're going to see him.
But it wasn't like a thing like, I've never seen a lion or an elephant or anything.
Oh, see,
like that.
That's a good point. Like, did he say that about all the other? Like, it's one thing to say, I've never been to a zoo.
Yeah.
Like, okay, so you've never seen a lion or a zebra or a hippo or an elephant or a giraffe. Okay, we get it. It's your first time at a zoo. But if he said, oh, I've seen all of those animals, I've never seen a giraffe before. I would have been like, nah, come on. Giraffes are everywhere.
Now you're pulling my leg. Do you not know what a giraffe is?
Yeah.
Exactly. Like, are you confusing it with another animal? I mean, the giraffe, the one with the really, really long neck. That's a giraffe.
That's exactly right.
A staple at every zoo.
Well, he was, you're right. On the mound, he was magnificent, but now he also, what a weekend. Won a national title and got to see a giraffe. How amazing. All right, that's a good, the bad, and the dumb as we continue on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, thanks for joining us on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. All right, coming up in 10 minutes, we'll get into the storylines in the AFC that do not have anything to do with Deshaun Watson. And what is the best storyline, a best story to watch for in the AFC this upcoming season? Again, that has nothing to do with Deshaun Watson. We are anticipating a ruling on his suspension today, tomorrow, whenever, sometime this week. So we could have a busy week with Deshaun Watson and then NBA free agency starting up on Friday. So, you know, we're getting to that point. And then hot dog eating contest coming up next Monday. Joey Chestnut, Matt Stoney, who else? Eric Booker.
Is that real?
I'm naming some of the names of the hot dog.
Isn't there one that's like the Black Widow?
That's Sonya Thomas.
There you go.
In the women's division.
But she's not the reigning champ. It's that other girl.
No, it's another one, yeah.
Can't remember her name.
Yeah, every time I talk to either Joey Chestnut or Matt Stoney, and I think I had another one on years ago when it was, I always ask them about Sonya Thomas because she's like 95 pounds and eats like 58 hot dogs. She's amazing.
Crazy.
Like, it's not like these guys are, you know, like they always say, like the bigger you are, the worse you do. You really can't have a huge stomach, the fat part. But when you see her, you go, there's no way she could eat 57 hot dogs. And she does. She's amazing. They say she's just incredible. So, the hot dog eating contest next week at the Coney Island.
Yeah, you know, there were two qualifying events.
Oh,
that happened,
the
Alameda County Fair.
That's right.
That was June 18th, but one happened over the weekend. The Giant National Capital Barbecue Battle.
Oh, really? Who won that?
I don't know, but that was in D.C. That must have been. I'm surprised that, you know, something of that magnitude in D.C. wasn't highlighted more this weekend.
My God. It's crazy. I know. Should have been. Why didn't they? Should have pumped it up a little bit.
I know.
How come we don't see competitive eating on TV as much, like the hot dog eating contest on?
That's
on
it.
July 4th. That's
and
it.
Then, well,
we don't get to see the matzo ball or meatball or.
And then you get whenever the Espen does August 8th, the Ocho.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's right.
Then there's usually a some sort of eating competition, just for a half hour, though.
Also coming up this weekend is the USFL Championship game. Did you know that? The Philadelphia Stars against the Birmingham Stallions.
I'm going to say yes. I looked it up.
I looked it up.
I've had it circled on my calendar for several weeks now.
No doubt. I looked it up because I knew that I saw an ad for it. It was like on Fox, and they were saying, "Oh yeah, the championship game." And I went, "Who's in it?" They don't even tell me who's in it. And I said, "I looked it up," and I went, "Oh, Birmingham used that home field advantage to the T." In capturing whatever division that they were in. USFL, look, I don't mean to rag on. Oh, by the way, Robert, if you're out there, and you know, I know you are, he reaches out to me on Facebook. He's one of the only guys I know that actually was watching this thing. He's always telling me what was going on, and God bless you for it. The USFL, it has to decide what it wants to be, right? Because on the one hand, if your organization is to bring in players and give them an opportunity to continue to play football in the likelihood that maybe one or two or three get back on an NFL team or get on an NFL team, whatever their circumstance is that puts them in the USFL, that's one thing. If you're trying to create an entertaining, publicly consumed product that sells tickets, merchandise, media rights, interest, and all of that, that's something completely different. Because you can do one without being the second. And you can be the second without emphasizing the first. I would tell the USFL, the idea that somebody is going to give you 3 hours of their time to watch maybe a practice squad running back sign with the Dolphins, that's not it. That's not it. They absolutely 100% have to watch your product because they like football and they are interested in the football you're playing. You can't sell them on a quarterback that is not going to play in the NFL. All right? What's the likelihood that the NFL has no idea that there's a Kurt Warner-like player that's playing in the USFL? I'm not saying it's 100% that they know, but it's probably 98, right? All of these guys had been evaluated at some point. I'm not saying you can't find a linebacker that might make a team and play a few snaps or whatnot, but you're not finding stars. You're not finding future stars. That's just not happening. They're so rare they made a movie about it with Kurt Warner. It's so rare it's ridiculous. And that's not what you need to do. But if you sell it as football and you say, look, it's football, and just try to appeal to people picking teams. You know what? I'm going to give you a perfect example. It's right up your alley there, Ron.
All right.
Remember when the Premier League not that long ago like was getting on NBC and they were really making their presence in the United States and there was a lot of interest and Americans were like, this Premier League is pretty good. What did the Premier League do? The Premier League, and like there was like little things like websites you could go to that, hey, pick your Premier League team. And you could answer some questions and it would go, you're a Liverpool fan. Hey, it was like, here's a bunch of teams and you don't know how to pick them, but here's what they are. If you're the USFL, go do that. Say you may not live in Birmingham, but here are the Stallions for you. They're pretty good. If you like the Maulers or the Stars, or here's some uniforms, pick a color, pick a logo, pick whatever you want. You got to get people somewhat attached to this because you can't sell it on the dreams of making it to the pros. You can't. You can't. You've got to sell it on football and say, hey, you know what? It's not the best football in the world, but it's still football, and you want it at this time of year. And you might be able to be somewhat successful. But if you're pitching it as, hey, maybe someday linebacker Bo Wilkes might actually sign a practice squad contract with the Broncos, you'll fail. You'll absolutely fail. Coming up, the biggest storylines going into the AFC that do not have anything to do with the Browns and Deshaun Watson next.
This
is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
So, anyway, we are waiting on this week for the decision of the NFL to figure out what they're going to do with Deshaun Watson. Last week, we really went into details on it. Andy Baskin joined us last week from Cleveland, the Fan in Cleveland. And they're obviously in the same thing in Cleveland. They're in the waiting game, figuring out, like, when are they going to be able to use this superstar quarterback who's kind of an embarrassment off the field and, you know, all the problems that go with that. Nevertheless, there is so many things to look forward to in the AFC this year. And Ron and I just happen to be fans of teams in the AFC, so there's that. But as I was saying earlier this morning, I can't think of a time where I looked at the AFC and saw it as this wide open as it is right now. And a lot of it has to do, obviously, with the Patriots. That's a given. They've dominated the conference for so long that even if you were to say, this team is better, this team has got this guy, this team is looking good, in the end, you always said, well, are they Patriots good? And that was the way you would sort of evaluate it. And if the answer was no, you didn't feel they were Patriots good, then maybe the conference wasn't as wide open. Now, Kansas City had that for a while. Remember that we had the same kind of conversation about Kansas City. Are they as good as the Chiefs? We always went, hey, look at the Buffalo Bills. Hey, look at this team. Are they as good as the Kansas City Chiefs? Given that Cincinnati has beaten the Chiefs and they're the defending AFC champs, given that Buffalo came oh so close to beating the Chiefs, given that the Tennessee Titans had won the division conference and it was supposed to have home field advantage throughout the playoffs except losing to the Bengals in their first game, maybe we don't have to say that now about Kansas City. Are they still one of the elites? Of course they are. There's no question about it. But maybe, just maybe, this is as wide open of an AFC as we've seen in a very, very, very long time. And so I bring this up because, again, I know the storyline is Cleveland and Deshaun Watson right now, and rightfully so. This is a big deal, right? The Browns signed him to a mega contract, fully loaded, guaranteed contract. We have known about his off-the-field problems for a while. It's a reason he didn't play all of last year for the Houston Texans. People were wondering what was going to happen to him because is anybody going to be interested in him? Is anybody going to chase him? Atlanta chased him. That's why Matt Ryan is in Indianapolis right now and Marcus Mariota is going to be under center. And the Cleveland Browns landed him. And it still leaves Baker Mayfield up in the air. Now, does it make the Browns one of the legitimate contenders? It could be. Here's a Pro Bowl-level quarterback that is coming off a year where he didn't play, right? So all of that being said, what are the major storylines? What are the best storylines from the AFC going into this upcoming season? Well, let's start with the Cincinnati Bengals for a second. Now, I think that you can make a run at the Super Bowl, but it not mean the same thing as other teams making a run at a Super Bowl. Remember when Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs won that Super Bowl against San Francisco? Wasn't there a feeling, and because we had seen it the year before when the Chiefs went to the AFC title game and Dee Ford went off sides and Brady made them pay and they went on to the Super Bowl against the Rams. But the following year, the Chiefs ended up winning the Super Bowl. And with that in mind, there was a feeling after that Super Bowl that the Chiefs were going to start to build something. That really the AFC was running through Kansas City. Right, they had this megastar quarterback. They had an offense that could score quickly. They could bury you in points pretty much at will. They could come back from any deficit. So it wasn't really that far off to say, hey, the Chiefs right now are the team to beat in the AFC. Would you say that about the Cincinnati Bengals going into the season? I wouldn't. That's not to say I don't respect the Bengals and what they did. I just wouldn't.
No, but you're absolutely right. We say that all the time,
you know,
about the defending champs.
Right.
I mean, we're saying that about the Rams.
We're saying it about the Rams, sure. The Rams, with, I guess, not maybe so much a weaker conference, but with the Bengals, I don't even know if they're favored to win the division. Because if Baltimore's healthy, you could put them in the running.
Now, I know there's 7 playoff spots, but, I mean, think about it, like years past, too, where there was only 6. Would they even be a guarantee to make the playoffs?
Sure, sure.
In this conference this year?
You got to remember, they made a great playoff run, but nobody was buying into them even when they were playing the Raiders at home in that first game. It was like, whatnot. Now, again, I respect them, and I do expect them to be an absolute factor in the way the AFC is shaped. But I don't think the conference runs through them. And I don't think it runs through the Titans, of course, because I don't think the Titans are quarterback loaded as other teams are quarterback loaded. But I will tell you that I think another storyline is, when do the Buffalo Bills turn the corner and get to the Super Bowl? Look, I never want to pressure a team to get to a Super Bowl because I think it's really difficult to get to that title game. But for the Bills, it's getting there. It's getting there. You have a small window. And for the Bills, I'll give them this. The Bills have done a good job opening that window up a little bit longer than a lot of teams. You see a lot of teams get success, and then it gets broken up a little bit. The Bills have had some success, but they're still in that window of everybody's signed, everybody's going to be around. But the one thing that is going to be missing is Brian Daboll isn't going to be there, and I wonder how much of a factor that's going to be. Right now, he's the head coach of the New York Giants. Now, how much is that going to affect Josh Allen and that team? But are the Patriots going to just be average, or are we expecting the Patriots to be a lot better? And are the Dolphins going to be good now that they have Tyreek Hill? See, all of a sudden now, that window might be getting a little smaller based on some of the teams that are getting better in your own division. And it's likewise, again, I'm trying to stay away from the Browns here, but it's likewise in the AFC North, because the Baltimore Ravens were just not healthy. But when Lamar Jackson is healthy, that's a Super Bowl-level team.
Yeah.
And the best division is the West.
Well, before you start on the West, even with just one comment on the Browns,
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be surprised if the Browns finished fourth.
Sure.
In this division.
Sure.
And you're talking about a team that still, I mean, I don't even know. Do they know who their quarterback is? I know you'll say Mitch Trubisky, but is that really, really real?
I don't believe. I'm telling you, man.
I know that's the feeling.
Right.
That's probably the safe thing to say.
There is two schools. This question in the NFL is never going to get answered. Never going to get answered. When you draft a guy in the first round to be your franchise quarterback and you have a veteran that is available in that first year, what should you do? There's all sorts of pros and cons, from start him right away, let him learn on the job, to let him grow underneath you, all of that. If you have a Peyton Manning, stick him under center. If you have a Ben Roethlisberger, let him sit behind Tommy Maddox for a game and a half.
Or does it have to be a certain number?
Right.
You know, I used to think it was, if you're top five, he's starting. But then we saw Trey Lance go number three and still not a starter.
Still waiting.
I guess the only one, if you're number one overall, you're starting.
Didn't we do that with Justin Fields last year in Chicago?
Yes.
Remember that? It was like, well, no, it's Andy Dalton. No, it's Nick Foles. No, wait. You know, like there's eventually a point where you got to go, look, you drafted this guy. Are you going to waste it or are you going to use it?
Like, yeah, almost cost all what's his name his job.
Right. So you have to do like I think the Steelers. It would have been with anybody. I'll be honest with you. If they had any high profile quarterback, and the quarterback class of this last draft wasn't all that great, but you draft a Pitt kid, and he's got number eight, and the city already loves him. You're gonna just sit him behind Mitch Trubisky. You better make sure Mitch Trubisky is going to be fun, because I can tell you this, fan bases don't mind watching a young quarterback grow. I think we're all understanding. I mean, there's lunatic fans in every sport, don't get me wrong, but I think most of us go, pull it back a little bit and develop. It's okay. You don't have to make the playoffs. I'm a Steeler fan. I don't have to make the playoffs. I'm good.
Well, that's what I was going to bring up.
Grow this kid.
I was going to bring that up. You're not a Pittsburgh native, and you've never lived in Pittsburgh, correct?
Right, right.
But you know, you kind of have the pulse of the team, like, you know, where the team's sitting there going, like, yeah, you know what? Everyone walking around that city right now knows that this might be our first losing season in, you know,
very
forever.
Long time. Yeah.
You know,
yeah. From like in 2003.
But you're all okay with it.
It's okay. It's totally fine. Look, I say this a lot. You got to take those bad seasons. You can't have good seasons all the time. You have to take those bad seasons. So if we're going to take bad seasons, and look, this is different than the organization. The organization, they want to win all the time. They owe it to the 50, one other guys that are on the roster that they've got to play really hard. So you don't want to tell the veterans, this is a lost season, we're developing a young quarterback. You want to put the team in a position to win constantly. But the reality of it is, as a fan base, what we want and what they want may be on two different things. You might want to start a veteran because you feel like it's your best chance to win games. Fine. We as a fan base are okay with going 6-11 if we think that the next year the quarterback is going to be capable of winning enough games to get them to the playoffs. Now, ask a Patriots fan. Patriots made the playoffs last year, albeit Buffalo played a perfect game against them. But that's almost like a bonus. I'm sorry. I know that Patriot fans would like to say, it's a Patriot way, it's Belichick. It's a... You start Mac Jones, and he's able to guide the team enough in the playoffs, however guiding, in quotes, is, whether it's managing games, winning games, not losing games, whatever that you can define that. I'm sorry. When you start a rookie, it's a bonus if you get to the postseason, no matter what you have. Great defense, great special teams. Guy runs the ball down people's throats. Brilliant head coach. It doesn't matter. You start a rookie, it's great if you can get into the postseason when you do. It's great. But when the Steelers had Ben Roethlisberger and Roethlisberger took over for Tommy Maddox in week two, and then they went 15-1, like, you could see him running out of gas at the end of the season.
Yeah.
Like, you could see him in the playoffs just – like, he never played that many football games before, and the Patriots kind of took care of him pretty easily title game.
Like what you said, you kind of saw it last year with Mac Jones.
Sure.
You know, I mean, it's just the fact that, you know, Bill Belichick is a genius. He knows the X's and O's better than I think we've ever seen any coach ever, and just knew what he needed out of his guy to win a game.
You know, man, I'm gonna tell you right now, we're going to continue this forward, we have to get to the West. But... reading the continuing to read that book, It's Better to Be Feared, and just the methodical nature that Belichick puts into every single game, it blows me away what the statistics Buffalo put on him last year in the playoffs, pitching that perfect game offensively. No punts, no fourth downs, touchdowns on what, 7 drives, whatever it was. Like, the idea that occurred against one of the greatest coaches the sport will ever see is absolutely remarkable. Absolutely remarkable. And it's like reading that and going, look what Buffalo did. What Buffalo was able to do against him. Holy cow. It even puts that on an even higher level.
They had to have a copy of his playbook.
Yeah.
What he was planning on doing that day.
Yeah. It's like throwing a no-hitter against 9 of the best hitters Major League Baseball can put together.
It's like throwing a combined no-hitter against the Yankees. I mean,
happens. Right. It just never happens. Exactly. All right, so we will get to the West. We'll continue coming over in hour number 3. It's Tony D, Ron Culver, and it's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, coming up in the next hour, we'll get into the West of our AFC storylines that have nothing to do with Deshaun Watson, because Lord knows that thing's going to be popping up this week and get onto everybody's radar, as the NFL is expected to announce a decision on him soon. Wimbledon, by the way, gets started today at the All England Club. Have you ever wanted to go to Wimbledon?
Yes.
You have?
I do.
Okay. I wouldn't mind it. Yeah, I would like to.
I have no interest in the Australian Open, U.S. Open, French Open. I mean, the only reason why I'd want to go to the French Open is to see Nadal. But I feel like by the time I'm able to make it over there, Nadal's not going to be playing anymore. But there's just something about, Wimbledon to me, I kind of put it on the same level as Augusta.
Yeah, no doubt. It's like
it's just this magical place.
Yeah, it's more than just
where tennis was invented, right?
Yeah.
That's kind of how I feel about Augusta. That's where golf was invented.
It's too bad that Wimbledon can't get. You know, earlier this morning I was talking about the Stanley Cup and green jacket. They're like trophies that you want to win rather than the title. Wimbledon gives out a nice trophy and to the men and the women, but I don't even know what it's named. Like, I don't even know what it is, you know, like its significance. I wish Wimbledon had like a special thing that they did.
They do. They do have a special thing that I really like. When once the match is played and the winner is announced and they do their on-court thing.
Right.
The winner goes up to the balcony of the All England Club All Tennis Club, whatever it's called in Wimbledon, I don't even know. But they go out to a balcony to wave to the fans down below.
Okay, that's cool, but it's not like a trophy.
No, it's not a trophy. In fact, I think Wimbledon, you get a dish.
I think the men get a a trophy, but they might get a dish too. I might be thinking of another tournament.
God, I think like the second place. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe they both get dishes.
Man, when I listen,
a platter.
When I was young, it was like Dick Enberg was doing it like on NBC, and it was like a big deal. And you know, now of course it's still a big deal, and it's always going to be a big deal. But I don't know, like even as a non-tennis fan, I always made time for Wimbledon. I always loved Wimbledon.
I mean, there's just something different about it.
Yeah, it's so great.
I don't know if it's because you're playing on grass and it's like, ah, that seems weird.
Yeah, it seems, and you know, and it's English, so it's a little on the
And you have to wear
echelon.
All white.
You have to wear all white. It's, what is it, strawberries and cream? Is that what it is?
Yeah, I think so.
Is that what they have? Breakfast at Wimbledon? They always had that majestic music they used to play, like it was some sort of regal event, like with royalty. And it was very well put together for a tennis broadcast. Come, have breakfast at Wimbledon. Yeah, that starts today. All right, coming up next, we'll get to the AFC West and looking around the AFC. We'll continue as the Avalanche win the Stanley Cup last night. All hail Colorado. All hail Kale. We'll continue. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio. I'm glad you can be with us.